Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Hey, a few people I just want to say hey to. Mark and Priscilla, you're home from Florida. It's always good to see your face. I was at Betty and LD's the other day, and they were talking about how nice your yard looks, and that it's Priscilla that does it. And so she works extra hard. LD noticed that. He's like, man, that woman works hard. Always good to have you guys back. Don and Judy Wright are back from Florida. Good to see you guys as well. Yeah, nice tan going on there. Dwight and Lori, they are Quaker legends, all right? So they're in Fairmount Friends. It's like the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Zen Harvey. That's kind of how it rolls. But in Indiana Yearly Meeting, Dwight's one of those guys that's up there, so it's great to have Dwight. He serves on Indiana Yearly Meeting, M&O. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that was kind of a fresh face I wanted to say hey to. So great to... Great to see everybody here this morning. I want to highlight this book right here by Gary Kesey. This is a Sunday school class that we're doing here at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. And just want to encourage you to be a part of this. If you would like to join this class and get one of the books, Todd Stroop is ordering some more of these books that they'll be coming in this week. And would love for you to get your hands on our materials for that. All right, well, hey, let's go to the Bible. If you got your Bibles, flip with me to Matthew chapter 13. And this morning, we're going to talk about getting some new life and getting new life coming on inside of our own life. There's something that's going on right now that I really like, and it's farmers that are just out there turning up some dust. I like seeing the farmers in the field. I actually really like the smell of the moist soil. Does anybody know that smell? What I'm talking about, just roll your windows down a little bit, and you will smell the wet ground as it's starting to turn and starting to come alive a little bit. In order for the farmers to get this new life, there is a process. There is an intense process that they go through, and three of my favorites that produce new life is this. Here's the three. It's a seed, soil, and seasons. I want to talk about seed, soil, and seasons this morning as it comes to breeding some new life. First one is seed, and this might be the most obvious thing that I say all morning, but here it is. What you put into the ground is what you get out of the ground, all right? What you put in is what you get out. Dan, I'm no expert, but you are, and do you ever plant a corn seed expecting a soybean? My Uncle Kenny probably did, because he's a little crazy. But Dan does not plant a corn seed expecting a soybean. Whatever you put into it, you're going to get back out of it. And so I just want to talk about the seed a little bit and what is it that we're being intentional to try to grow inside of our own lives. And what you spend your life on is what you eventually become. Or I might say it this way, is what we behold is what we become. What moves our hearts, what grabs our attention, what we give our lives to eventually fleshes out in some sort of a harvest in our lives. If you guys are with me in Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 3. This is Jesus, and he told them many stories in the forms of parables, and here is one of them. Talking about a farmer, and he says, listen! With an exclamation point. Isn't that fun? Jesus, what a silly goose. He says, listen up! A farmer, he went out and he planted some seeds. And as he's scattering them across his field, some of the seeds, they fell on the footpath. And the birds came and they ate them. And other seeds, they fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. And the seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, then they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on the fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and 100 times as much as had been planted. We drop down to verse 18. Now, listen, he says it again. That's so funny. Anybody, like, that's what your dad would always do? Hey, listen up. Or Jake says this sometimes, and Todd, I'm not sure if you get this from you. Livia can maybe testify. Is Jake starts out like this. He goes, hey, look. hey, look. I want you to pay attention to something. And Jesus is saying, hey, look, listen. Here's the explanation about this parable and the farmers and planting seeds. The seed that fell in the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and they don't understand it. Then the evil one comes, snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. So now we're talking about the soil, but then he starts shifting, and now he's talking about our heart, the soil being the heart. The seed of the rocky soil represents those who hear the message, and immediately they receive it with joy. Since they don't have the deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems, or they're persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. The lure of wealth, no fruits produced there. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear. They understand God's word. It produces a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 times as much that has been planted. As the Bible starts talking about some soil, the seed needs a good place to land. The word of God needs a heart, a place that is hungry, it's saturated, it is ready, it's full of sunlight. It has all of the ingredients in order for it to really bear some fruit. The soil is our hearts, and ready it must be to hear, to not be flooded with the thistles of life, the worries and the concerns of life, but a heart that's been cleared out, a heart that is ready. What are some of the things that might be at odds with us producing some new life? This morning, as I'm getting ready, I asked Alyssa, I said, hey, at some point, maybe today, this week, would you like to plant some flowers in our landscape just to kind of start getting ready and preparing for spring? It was unbelievable. It was more than me saying, like, Jesus died on the cross for you. Do you want to plant some flowers? She's like, oh, yes, I do. Something about this week and the weather and the energy and the sunlight, and it's sunny and 75. Did anybody else just feel a lift take place in your spirit? There's something about having the right climate that begins to shift our hearts. Sunlight. So Nora right now is trying to grow a plant. So she has a seed and she has some soil and she has way too much water. And so she just drowns that thing. Every day she wants to just water this thing. And it's going to take off, guys. It just will. It has to have water. And she sets it by the window, and it's going to get the sunlight. It has all the ingredients, right? The whole makeup that it needs. Yet it is drowning. But she's got faith. She's crazy. But she's got faith, poor thing. The things that many times can come against us really experiencing some new life that I found in my own heart. Hurry. I feel like hurry many times. Hurry is not conducive for like about any sort of spiritual growth. Silence and solitude. I can't go into silence and solitude and just want to like hurry and get it over with. My prayer life, going into the presence of the Lord, and I'm like, okay, let's just, the goal is just to get done. Come on. I feel like hurry, the pace, and it's the job, and I got to move on to the next thing, and I wake up, and I'm grabbing coffee, and I'm running out the door, and I'm spilling the coffee on me on the way there, and I'm just ticked off, and I go running into the meeting, and I'm irritable at everybody. You're a loser, and I don't like you, and please don't ever come to our church because I don't want to ask for forgiveness and whatever. Like all of those tension swirls. I'm just always just in a hurry. It's on to the next thing and grab the kid and run to practice and drop him off. And then I'm just like, man, am I really truly becoming conformed to the image of the Son? If that's the goal? Noise. Sometimes we just live in just a noisy society. And it's just another ding. And it's another phone call. And it's like, just got to have the radio on and the TV. And while I'm in the car, I just can't even just be and just sit and be with him. Got to get the next song and the music going. I got to listen to the talking heads. And what's the all information that's coming in? It's just an information overload. Or even like my cell phone. Just got to be with it and be on it. And I mean, it is the thing that I cuddle at night. I need some marriage counseling. It's the last thing I touch before I fall asleep. It's the first thing I touch when I wake up. There's just like this draw into it, realizing, man, is this the thing that's really leading me into the presence to become more and more like him? Is my heart, the soil, the inner man, just being distracted? It's not that we're sinful. It's just that we're busy. And it's not that we're evil, it's just that we're distracted. I'm not a bad person, it's just that my attention is just scattered in a bunch of different directions. And so maybe whenever the seed hits the soil of my heart, it's just like, man, there's just a whole lot of other stuff that's going on in here. And it's not that it's sinful thorns, it's just that there's just a lot of other stuff that's happening. I'm distracted here, and I'm distracted over here, and I got to get all of my news, and I've got to get the next thing. My iPhone did something weird recently, and it had a suggestion for me, and it said, based upon your first touches, does anybody else see that? The first touches, they do this suggestion? Maybe it just happens for addicts. I don't know. But it happened to me, it says, would you like to open ESPN.com? Because it's the first thing I do in the morning. Boom, what happened? Who won? Checking scores, whatever. I'll do that even before I get up to pee. I mean, what is my problem, right? And like, I'm in pain. I'm like, no, I'm just going to just be a little bit longer. There's just something to it that I just know, it just distracts. The soil in my heart is not really conducive. It's not hungry and saturated and really set up. When our soil kind of slowly dies or maybe hardens, or like Nora, it's oversaturated with not the right mix. It's like the German philosopher Byung-Chul Han. He writes this. They're like people who are too alive to die and they're too dead to live. We're alive and you can't really bury us yet, but we're really too dead to be fully alive in this life. Or Corrie Ten Boom, she said this, that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll just make you busy. Just hurry up. What's the next thing? Where are we going next? What are we going to do? And I'm so busy doing, I don't have time just to be with him. And in him. So many distractions are just caught up with this thing right here. In 2007, Steve Jobs hijacked the attention of the world. In 2007, he released the first iPhone. Just let me read some stats to you about the iPhone. It was released to the man in the wild. And we went bonkers over it. A few months later, Facebook opened, really, to anyone with an email address. And then Twitter immediately followed, and Twitter just came in hot. Then the thing was birthed that we now call the cloud. The cloud opened an app store that gave me an unlimited amount. It was like a mall in the 90s just came right to my screen. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have access to all this shopping for stuff that can like completely steal my attention and make me addicted to give my energies to it. And another ding and another notification, I get all fired up. And here's another hit, another dopamine. And man, I'm just loving it. I'm all fired up, right? It was the same year that Intel switched from silicone to hard metal, having their metal chips. Technology was just moving at an all-time high. The smartphone gave us Wi-Fi access 24/7, a news feed 24/7, media 24/7. Now you can go onto social media and your best friend went for a walk and you get to see it. 24/7. And a celebrity ate a sandwich. And now you get to actually see it. Well, they're eating. They're eating. And we love it. And it just draws us in. A recent study said this about just iPhone users. And there's a whole other crew of Androids, and maybe you're still rocking that brick Nokia, I don't know. But here's just iPhone users. How many touches they have is 2,617 times a day. On their phone for 2.5 hours over the course of 76 sessions. This is just cell phone use. So that's talking and texting. It's just cell phone use. We're not even talking about internet use and social media and checking our emails and all of the other stuff that goes into it. 2.5 hours, 76 sessions, and if you're a millennial, the numbers are twice as high. Another study, when people didn't get on their cell phones, and they just had a cell phone in the room, they weren't even on it, but the cell phone was in the room. It reduced their working memory and problem-solving skills. They were distracted by the phone just being near them. So here's mine, and I'm trying to work. Addiction stuff. I just want it. Just a quick score update. Just a quick text. Just like, man, one more look at Ryan Reynolds' abs. Not that I do that, but somebody does probably. One more little hit. Oh, it's a ding. It's a vibrate. And it's doing something. I'm like, my inner man is like vibrating and shaking. Our memory goes down and our problem-solving skills go down. Might I just say it this way? The smartphone makes us dumber. We can't remember. And we can't problem solve. We freak out around it. Cell phone use, whenever it goes to another level, when we're checking the weather, we're checking our email. We're not even into the TV when it talks about Netflix and Prime and Hulu. That's a whole nother game. They're saying now that people will binge watch an entire season, which can last, I don't know, 10, 12 weeks, maybe longer, in less than 5 days. Just consume episode after episode after episode. Consume the entire season in a week. Less than a week. Consumers. Silicon Valley insider, his name is Tristan Harris, he points out this. He says that slot machines make more money than the film industry and baseball combined. Okay, let's talk about the film industry. We're talking billions, okay? And we're talking about baseball. We're talking about a $1 billion organization here. And he says slot machines, just sticking in a nickel at a time. It's just a quarter. Not a big deal. It's just a little bit. And it's just a little bit here. And it's just a little bit here. And it's just a quick check. And it's just a quick text. And it's just a quick signing in. And it's just a quick look through. And it's just a quick flip and scroll. It's just a quick swipe right for all of you guys that are on Tinder. It's just a little quick something. And then there went my life. It's like a slot machine that it doesn't seem like it's a big deal until it takes over. One of the books that I'm in right now is this book. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I'll tell you, it is like slamming the brakes on my driver, the energy, the pushing and pressing. Not that we shouldn't have some intensity and a little get up and go, but it's trying to pace my spirit where I'm mindful of the Lord all throughout the day. Rather than mindful of the news, rather than mindful of what he just ate, rather than mindful of whatever else is going on in everyone else's life, to pump the brakes and say, Jesus, what are some things that you're wanting to do inside of me? I want to make sure that my soil is good. You know what's wild? Is my camera came on and it just snapped a picture of you guys. Isn't that funny? Here, here's another one. Smile. That's so funny. Kathy, were you asleep? Kathy, your eyes were closed. So we've got the seed, which we believe is the word of God, which is the encouragement of the believers, which is the body of Christ being together, which is dwelling together. This is the stuff that's going to start to produce some life inside of our hearts, and our hearts is the soil of where it's going to land, and making sure that our inner man is good. And then finally, we talk about seasons. We have four seasons, and we experience all four of them, don't we, here in Indiana. We've got spring, summer, fall, winter, and you get all of them for about 90 days. You get spring for about 90 days, and man, here it is, and yeah, how many of y'all are loving it? It's sunny and 70, and the flowers, and woo, and then it changes, and then it's hot. I've been waiting all year for this, and now I don't even want to go outside. Anybody sit in January, like, I don't care how hot it is in July, I will be out there because I've been trapped in here, and then as soon as you walk out, you're just sweating, it's humid. I mean, you just breathe, like you can just breathe water right into your mouth. You're like, I'm never going, man, when's it going to be winter? Because in 90 days, it's going to shift. Now it's the fall, it's bonfires, and it's sweatshirts, and it's Friday night football games, and all that. And in 90 days, it switches, and it is Antarctica out there. I mean, it is frigid, but except for the bummer part is that winter lasts like 600 days in Indiana. And then we get back into just a little bit of warmer. But it changes, right? Seasons, they're moving and they're changing. And the atmosphere all at the same time. On a count of three, everybody say, what is your favorite season? One, two, three. Mine too. I love those as well. I'm grateful that they shift every 90 days. Each season's unique. Right? And all of our lives, we kind of move into different seasons of life. Jeff Massey, he's an atmospheric scientist. Check out this picture here of the USA as we look at kind of the what happens in the winter. Extreme cold can bring benefits to farmers, their fields, by freezing the soil deep beneath the ground. The frost depths in this image can get to be like 40 inches, like in the upper northwest, where Midwest, where we live, it gets to be about a foot to a foot and a half of a deep frost that can sit in. Believe it or not, this freezing and thawing cycle of water actually helps soften our soil. It reduces compact after the soil thaws. And finally, the extreme cold in the frozen soils reduces the survival rate of some insects. So some insects that can eat up the seed when it goes into the ground. So that the seed, when it hits the soil, it's ready with no deadly insects in there. There's something about even certain seasons that we go through that God may even be preparing our soil and we don't even know. Perhaps you've gone through like the dark night of the soul. As C.S. Lewis calls it, it's always winter, but never Christmas. It's like, man, this is just hard. Why does Indiana have 600 days of winter? And life has just been incredibly tough. I would just want to encourage you to walk through this season with some faith, knowing God might just be preparing my soil. Jesus, I want my soil to go through this freezing, thawing season. I want you to clean out the insects and the bugs. I want you to soften my heart through some stuff. Maybe you've gotten humbled recently. Maybe you've walked through a big time loss. I don't know what the season has been, but maybe your inner atmosphere has been shifting. And let's just submit our season to the Lord. And God, I believe that as the seasons change, you can change me. Because as the word of God is coming, I want my soil to be ready. I want to receive it. And I don't want birds, whatever, all the distractions to come in and just rob the word of God because I'm so distracted. I don't want the thorns from the news and the media. I'm hyperventilating. I'm freaking out. I got FOMO. I'm afraid that I'm missing out on something. I'm just always freaking out. Oh, just let me rest in you. No longer death by distraction. Just let me get incredibly focused. What are you doing? What are you saying? Because I need some new life to start growing inside of me. Maybe you're just frustrated. Maybe that thing didn't work out the way that you had hoped. Maybe it's just been a long season of a bummer. I don't know. But God, I'm here and I'm yielding and I want to listen. And so I'm just submitting this season to you, God, and hopefully that it'll change. Something else about seasons is as the climate and the environment begins to change, it also lets us into a little peek about how certain seed and certain soil works. Does anybody love like amazing Florida oranges? Anybody ever heard, and farmers out there, Brian, Kurt, you guys ever heard this? If you take a good seed and you put it in good soil, you're going to get a good harvest. Yeah, that sounds about right. But you can take the best Florida orange seed and you can put it in the best Indiana soil and you ain't getting no oranges. Because it's not just the seed or the soil, it's the atmosphere that matters. And it's not that Indiana doesn't get hot enough, it's that Indiana doesn't stay hot enough long enough. Y'all with me? Sometimes you've got to stay in arenas and atmospheres that are conducive for the kind of growth that you want. You've got to get yourself in a position where it is hot. It is engaging. This seed is alive. My soil is prepared. I am ready. And it needs to be in an atmosphere where it provokes something in me. It is stoking the flame. It is hot. It is causing some life and some growth. The sun is on it. It is shining. My soil is ready. Come on, Jesus. Grow me. Change me. Cause me to come into prayer. Cause me to come into service. Cause me to live a fasted and a prayerful life. What are the things that are going to produce some fruit in my life? Maybe it's the Sunday mornings. You need to get in the right place. Maybe it's your life group. You need to make sure that you're in a hot environment. Perhaps it's men's group. You need to be intentional. There's some growth that I need as a man in my marriage, and I need to get to the spot that's going to help me grow and come alive. Perhaps it's women's group. Man, I need to something's got to grow, and I need to be there. Why? Because it's hot, and I really need this soil to be conducive for the seed that's in it. There are times when we need to move to the place. We need to take that seed in that soil and move it to Georgia because that's where it's going to grow. I just want to encourage you, man, find those places where we really can grow. The great philosopher Olaf from Frozen. The great wise man, he said this, "Oh, I don't know why, but I've always loved the idea of summer and sun and all things hot. I've always loved the idea of having a holy house, a holy hot house, a meeting house where we come in and the presence just electrifies the seed. and something is just growing, and an entire family is growing and coming alive because the atmosphere is like, this is a greenhouse. And we come walking into the greenhouse where the atmosphere is just electric, and it's popping, and the seed is coming alive. And you create those atmospheres in your home, in your kitchen, in your car, in your bedroom. That'll tell you one of the best things that you possibly could do is like a culture curator in your home. This thing is an incubator for my sons and my daughters to grow. Why? The presence is thick here. We usher in the presence. Holy Spirit, come and help me parent my kids right now. I want to do it in the presence. And it just gets really, really good. And not living distracted, but living intentionally engaged. Man, the soil in this home matters. Just as we get warmed up and heated up, man, we just want to be super mindful that there's going to be things that can grow that maybe in other places they just can't grow. What do we do if we feel like we're in a season where it's just not growing? It's winter. Something's just not growing. Or perhaps we've even experienced some death parts. Maybe marriage didn't work out. Maybe you've got a little wedge with your kids. Maybe you were hoping for that job or promotion. I don't know, whatever they are, but the heart can get disappointed. And whenever the heart's disappointed for long seasons, it becomes sick. I'm just reminded here of this in Job chapter 14, verse 7. If you can wrap your faith around this with me. There is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may even die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. We were going for a walk recently, and as we're walking down the road, I mean, the road is just this concrete pavement. And wouldn't you know that there's a plant popping right up through the concrete. And you're like, this isn't a soil that's conducive for growth. This isn't the right soil. This doesn't make sense. How is this working? And right here in the middle of the road, here comes this green life. And if you can't see it, let's zoom in just a little bit. Can you see what it says on top of that cap? Water. The earth has, that part of the earth has been covered over. It is hard. It's been paved. People drive all over it, walk and step all over that heart, that soil. It is hard and crusty. And wouldn't you know that at the scent of water, it begins to bud literally around the water hole. Is this something? This is right over here on Tyler Street. It is something. It is happening. There's life that can come out. Whatever the hard season has been, this can't help but believe. Even if you've experienced death to the very core of the stump of your life, God says, wait a minute. I'm supernatural. I can do something brand new and cause something just to burst forth even through the harsh conditions. I want to see our church family continue to move into more and more new life seasons. Our prayer this morning is that you would continue to grow into these, and perhaps it's, you know what, I need to be here Saturday mornings at men's group. I do need to jump into a life group. I do need to reach out to a couple of the men here and be intentional because I'm trying to do this thing all alone and it is not working. This Lone Ranger approach is killing me. I do need to show up Wednesday nights to women's group. I just need some women just to pour into me. I do need to be intentional to master my mornings, to get up early, be intentional to get into the atmosphere where something can grow and get into the Word of God. I need to be intentional, not to be in a hurry, but just to stop and rest in Him. Be mindful of Him. I need to be intentional to turn this thing off and turn on to the Lord and fix my eyes upon Him. He is where my help comes from. And just begin to pivot our perspective and see the growth that God really wants to see in our church family. As we close here this morning, I just encourage you just to bring one thing. What's the one thing that you're saying, Jesus, I need to grow in this area? Right now, what's that area? I want to see some new life in, what is it? Maybe it's in your own identity. I need to see some new life in my marriage. I want to see some fresh life in my joy levels. Man, I'm just going through so much sadness and depression. God, would you just cause me to come alive again? What's that one area? And we're going to take that one area to the Lord. If you've got that one area and you want to pray in agreement with me, would you just stand to your feet this morning? And as you stand, I'm just going to agree with you in prayer that there's something that we're going to grow in. Yeah, here we go. Let's do it. Let's do this, guys. Come on, Jesus. Well, Father, this morning, we just ask you that there would be some fresh life and some new life. We just pray this over our church family. God, we just pray that the seed would land on some excellent, soft, hungry, fertile soil. Pray that you would move inside of our hearts. Would you just till up some of the crusty ground? We love the smell of that new soil being turned. God, we just pray that the atmosphere would be right to grow something powerful inside of our hearts and inside of our family here this morning. God, we just pray all this is from you. It is through you. Ultimately, our lives are lived back to you as we honor you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.